Hello and welcome back. In this session, we're going to be taking what we've already learned now in the IDE itself and start by building your first platformer game. But you might have the question, what is a platformer? So we're going to talk about some of the basic types of games. And when we talk about the basic types of games, I'm going to give some four, to be exact, common games. And one of the reasons I'm giving this is not to get into a fight about whether this is a platformer, whether the combination of a platformer and a shooter is a platformer, whether this type is that type. I really want to discuss, because you can go on endlessly on that topic, I want to discuss four common types of games as I see them, because I want to give people ideas as they start learning now and building a game, when they're thinking of their game, what type do they really like to play and what type would they really like to build? So let's go ahead and look at the four that I've decided to highlight here. The first one is a platformer, and the second one is an endless runner. The third one is a maze, and then the fourth one is physics. Now, instead of just talking about it, I thought I'd show you a couple that are on Windows 8 already, and we can look at what those look like and discuss the look and feel of them and the gameplay of them. Before we start building our own, you can kind of see what other people have done. So let's go over and switch over to our start screen. And I have a few of them lined up here. And the first one is Agent P. So when we're talking about a platformer game, you know, some of the basic early ones were like Donkey Kong, right? Donkey Kong was one screen platformer where you climbed ladders and went on to the next level. Most of the current, what people would at least term platformer games, don't fit everything into one level. What they do is they build a very large level and then they give you a view into that level. So let's look at Agent P, see what that looks like. This is a game that Disney created. And we're going to go ahead and just start on the first level here. And we're going to play it without sound. It's got a good, great soundtrack. And a couple things I want to point out is, first of all, right now I'm using the keyboard to jump right, left, etc. I could also use the screen. You can see the items on the screen. And you can see them, I think, light up as I touch them. You can see I can jump from the screen, left, right, etc. And you can also, with this game, use an Xbox controller. You can build that into your Game Maker game as well. The more ways you give people to play the game, the better. So if we look at just the basics of the gameplay, you can see that I can jump around onto different platforms. So it's not necessarily the platforms of old. And you could argue that this has a maze-esque quality where you have to find different things in different sections. But the one bigger point I want to point out is that this is one large level, but you're only seeing a section of the platforms at any given time. You have a view of those sections. So this is a platformer. This is what a lot of people like to play, and it's very specific, as in when you finish one level, you go to the next level. So that's a platformer. So let's go back and look at a second one here. And this is Endless Runner. So Endless Runner is something that is very platform-esque, but the whole point of a an Endless Runner is that you run, you swim, you fly, you jump, you go as far as possible until you die. And you start throwing more and more difficult stuff at someone and give them special tokens. The farther they get, the cooler stuff they get. So if we look at Jetpack Joyride, I really like the controls because it's really just a one touch, whether it's a touch on the screen, a touch on the keyboard. There's only one thing that controls him. When you touch it, he shoots stuff out of the jetpack, kills people below him, and he flies up in the air. And you notice that, you know, I'm flying up and around to not get killed. There's special things you can get. This one's a little stomper suit that helps you not get killed, at least the first time. You can see it works very similar to him. And, you know, usually I die by now. That's why I am keeping going. But you get the point. This is going to keep going until I die, and then I start over. And there's different stuff you can get along the way. Let's let that kill me. And we'll end it there. So the third one, and we'll bypass the little extras that they add, like the slot machine in that one, and we'll look at a physics game. You know, if you're thinking of a physics game, you're probably thinking of something you can't help but thinking about. Every single person in the world thinks about that, and that's Angry Birds. But instead, this is a neat little game on Windows 8 that I like called Shark Dash. It's the same type of stuff. If we go in here, it's a shark that needs to eat rubber duckies. So you can see that just like a catapult of Angry Birds, I can pull back on here and I shoot him through. I try to eat as many rubber duckies as I can. They tell you how many turns it should take you to do all this stuff. I should be able to eat him now. And what I want to show you on here is something that's you need to think about in your games. You notice that I only got two stars. I got all ducks. I was able to get all ducks in the shots they allotted me, but I didn't get all coins. And this is really a cool thing to put inside your game. It gets people coming back. If you've ever played any of these games, you want to not move on to the next level until you get all three stars. And that's a great thing to put in your game. It encourages more and more gameplay. It encourages people to play again and again and again so they can get the best score on each level. So that is the physics game. If we go back to the front, the last one that I want to talk about is a maze game. And I want to pop in here, but mazes can be many different things and many different variations. I was trying to think of the best one to show you, but obviously a very simplistic one or a very early one, and there could be debates whether it's a maze game or not, is Pac-Man. Now, this is Pac-Man Championship Edition, and it actually walks me through a lot of different stuff. But you can see it walks Pac-Man through a maze while he eats stuff and, you know, tries to avoid the ghosts unless they're blue. There's multiple levels on the maze. You have to finish something, usually in a maze, to get to the next section of the maze. And so that's a maze game. And those are four different types of games that you should be thinking of while you're thinking of the game you're going to build for this contest, or just the game that you're going to build to have fun with. Okay, so let me go back to the PowerPoint, because I want to show you something before we do that. I think I just go here. And I want to focus on the two games we just looked at, or two of the games we just looked at, because this is the Disney one we showed you. This is the platformer game. And you might be thinking, there's no way, you know, I can create a game like this. Granted, I'm sure they have some amazing graphic artists. Of course they do. They're Disney. But if you really look at how this is put together, and once you start working with Game Maker, you'll notice that these are just platform blocks that are put on there. There's a nice background. The functionality itself is, you know, your normal jumping. You're collecting some sort of coins. The animation by using sprites, which Brett's going to show you in the next session, it happens when he jumps, when he twirls, you know, when he runs, and you'll actually see how to create that animation in the next one. So it's not beyond your reach. Actually, the virtual keys that you can see on the screen here, the virtual keys are something that we have resources at the end of this to show you how to implement those in your game. All this stuff you can have in your game. Even if we look at Jetpack Joyride, again, great graphics. I'm not saying it's not great graphics, but if you really look at what they've done here, it's still a 2D game. Now, the Jetpack Dude has, you know, a 3D look to him because of the shading and stuff they've done. But if you look at the level itself, it looks like it has depth, but he's really just running on a 2D surface. The backgrounds change. The lightning stuff strikes you see on the right and the left are relatively easy to produce. Now, I'm not saying this is going to take you 10 days, but this, again, is within your reach. It's really not something that's so far out there that you can't attain this. And so I always personally think that it's best if you find games and the type of games that you like, look at not just the graphics or how they're put together, but why people like them, what makes them successful, what are the key points in these games that keep people coming back, and incorporate the same types of stuff, and I don't mean copycats, but the same types of rewards to keep them coming back to your game. Okay, so that was a brief introduction to kind of get your ideas flowing of what you can build. And so in this section now, we're going to take some time to build a platformer game. Now, we're not going to have the time to build one from beginning to end from scratch. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some basic stuff from scratch just to show you how easy Game Maker makes it. I'm going to then show you one of the starter kits. These are one of the starter kits that you can download and utilize. And what that's going to show you is I'll show you some of the basic movements. We'll jump into the starter kit so you can see a more well-rounded version of this. And then in the next couple of sections, you'll see how to create the graphics, you know, how to create the sounds, and then how to bring all of this into a game and how to take that starter kit and make it your own. So let's go ahead and get started. Okay, so let me bring Game Maker in here. And the first thing I want to do is show you the project. So this project, all I've done is I did the file, the new, and I created a project called Builder Bob, and I've just brought in sprites. Now, the reason I've done this is because I'll show you first the images that I created so you can see them a little better. Let me do... you can see I built a little Builder Bob with a hammer. I've built a bird. I've built a coin and then a very cheesy background. And I've already brought them in. The reason I've done that is we're going to be showing you different stuff in the next session on how to build these and how to bring them back into the game. So you'll learn all of that next time. But this is quite honestly something you should do for your game anyway. Don't spend too much time up front on your images. Work on the gameplay, work on what you want it to do, work on the functionality of your game. And when you have that worked out, then go back and build the images that you need. Because a lot of times, you'll spend this time building images and making sounds that you don't actually use, and you don't want to have that wasted time. So we already have them in here, but that's all I've created in the project so far. So the first thing I want to do is I want to add a background. So I'm just going to right-click on backgrounds and do create backgrounds. And we'll just leave that as background zero. You saw the cheesy one that I already created. And we're going to just open up that one. Load. And I have it here. And we'll choose that. And we'll click OK. And that's actually all I need to do. In here, there's some more complex things that you can do with backgrounds using them as tile sets, etc. We're not going to cover that. We're just going to set this as the background and click OK. So now our background's all set. And now we want to go down to objects. So I told you before, objects is where you're going to be spending most of your time. And the first thing I want to do is create an object for the floor itself. Now, we're going to be using a very simple floor. You can have different types of floor, but I'm going to go ahead and call this object parent. I should actually say object floor parent. And I'm going to choose a sprite that I created for that, which is that red just square. And I want to make it visible. Of course, we want to see it. And I also want to make this solid. We're not using physics or anything else, but we're going to do a depth of -5. And you might be thinking, okay, well, what's depth? Now, I could just tell you, or I can show you how to find out. Anywhere in Game Maker, if you just hit F1, the help will come up. They have this online now as well. And if you do DEPTH and hit Enter, go down to depth, you can find out. So it's where it places it on the screen. What's on top of what? Negative is higher and positive is lower. And it's just how they place it on the screen. So it's very easy to find that stuff out. So the second thing is, why did I call this object floor parent? Well, object floor parent is there because we're going to allow someone to walk on this, and a collision event is going to happen with this block. And so we're going to have a lot of events that have to do with the character that's walking and the block that he's walking on. And so if I create different types of things he can walk on, I only want to create that event once. And so we can create an object floor parent. Now, if we created another type of floor, you can see we can set the parent to this, and all the properties of that parent will be part of that, or the events that are part of that parent will be part of it. So that's why we're calling it object floor parent. We're not going to actually create anything that uses this as the parent yet, but we will in the future. So let's go ahead and click OK, and we're done with that object. So the next thing we want to do is create the object player. And we want to choose the sprite that we created for him, and that's Sprite Bob. We're not going to do a lot with Bob right now. We're going to set his depth to 10. As of right now, he's going to be the closest to us. He's going to be on top of, or in front of, I should say, everything else. We're going to make him visible. And that's all we're going to do right now. Later, we're going to add events here. So we're going to come back to Bob. But for right now, we're going to leave that as is and set that right there. The next thing we want to do is create a room. So we have a player and we have something for the player to walk on, but we need somewhere to put the floor itself. So let's go ahead and do create room. And we'll put that up here. And we're going to go to settings first. And you can see there's a lot of stuff you can do with a room. And we're going to talk about each of these tabs one at a time. The first tab is the settings tab. And I want to first name this RM level 1. And right now it's set at 640 by 480. I want to make this much, much bigger. So we'll do 2048 by 546 high. And you can see here, I can see the whole room if I scroll in and out. And if it's so big I can't see it, I can take this and view the whole room. The next thing I want to look at is backgrounds. So we want to set the background for this room. And so I'm going to go ahead and choose the background we created. And you'll see my nice buildings that I created very quickly. And Inkscape shows up as the background for the room. You can change the color of here if you want for the background. You're going to usually have a more complex background than you see here. So this won't necessarily always come into play. It all depends on the complexity of your game. I actually like the gray, so we're just going to leave it as a gray for this example. The next tab we're going to go to is the Objects tab. So the Object tab is what allows you to put something on the screen. So right here it says, what object do you want to add with the left mouse? And before we do anything, I want to put the floor. So the floor, or what you're going to use for the platform, is the object floor parent that we just created. And so with this selected, when I click on the screen, you'll see that that jumps on there. Now, I want to be able to first put it on the side here because I don't want him to fall backwards over this. And then I want it on the bottom. And you'll notice right here there's a couple things that allow you to do this more quickly than just clicking once. I can do Shift and Control, and I can do a bunch of them. And put some up here. Up here, see how high he goes. Up here, some here. I'm deliberately leaving some spaces. And if you need to scroll over, you grab this and drag it over. I'm going to make it so he cannot go out this end either. And I can clean that up and delete that, but we're just going to leave it as it is right now. And we're going to make this high, high, high. And there we go. And so now I have something for him to walk on. If we run this, we can see what it looks like. So this is going to compile. When it finishes compiling, it'll show on my screen. Give it a second to do so. You can see that I chose Windows 8 JavaScript. You can choose either one, Windows 8 JavaScript or Windows 8 Native. And so there is our room, the current room that we just created. Not much to it. You can see the buildings. You can see the platforms. And so let's do one more thing. Let's go ahead and close this. And we want to actually put our player in there, right? So let's choose him as what to click. And let's just click him up there. And let's run it again. And we'll give it a second while this once again compiles. And it'll come up a little quicker now. And so now you can see our guy on the screen, but he's doing absolutely nothing. He's just flying in midair, quite honestly. So we want to fix that. So let's go ahead and close this. So we have our man, we have our platforms, we have our background. So let's add some functionality to the player. So let's bring gravity into this. So let's open up the player. And we're going to go ahead and add an event. And we don't need to do any creation code in the simple part that I'm doing. I want to choose the step event. And the step event is, if you could think of it as the game loop, it keeps looping and looping. These are the things that need to keep happening in the game as the game's going. And so in the step event, I first want to see if there's anything below him. Meaning, is he actually standing on something? If there's nothing under him, specifically the object floor that have created on there, we want to see if the floor is right under him. So we're checking right below him, relative to himself, to see if there's anything there. Okay, and then the next thing we want to do is set the gravity. So if there is something, something right under him, I'm going to make sure that the gravity is this third one over here. I want the direction to be 270, which is down, and the gravity is zero. Meaning, if he's standing on something, I don't want him to fall. Okay? Else, and we'll drag an else over here. If there's not something there, again, I want to set the gravity. But this time, I'm going to set the gravity to something that's going to make him fall. And we will do that at 0.4, and again, 270. And we'll click OK. And so that's going to keep checking that. That's in our step event. And so if we run this, the compile should happen quicker each time. You can see it's creating the HTML5 file. watch him, if you looked quickly, you saw him fall from top because there was nothing under him, but he just kept on falling. Now, we need to fix that. We want to know when he actually collides with the floor. That's our collision event. So let's go ahead and add a collision event. So go add collision. And what do you want to add a collision event for? So this will be bigger depending on the number of objects you have. We only have two objects. We have the player and the floor. So what do I want to do when he actually collides with the floor? I want him to stop. So when he actually collides with the floor, I want him to set the vertical speed. So I'll set the vertical speed to 0, which means when he collides with it, he's going to stop. That seems pretty simple. Let's go ahead and do OK. Run this again. Give that a second to load up. And now you'll see he stops when he's on there. But I can't move him. He's not moving at all. And so we want to make sure he can move through this environment. So we're going to do that by, again, adding some events to the player. And we want to add a left. Actually, we'll start with a right. So let's do a keyboard right. And so what do I want to happen when the keyboard right is there first? I want to check to see if there's any object right in front of him. If there's any object right in front of him, I don't want him to be able to move. So again, first we're going to see if an object is there. And if an object, and we only have the object floor right now, is right in front of him, just 8 pixels, which is how far I'm going to have him move when we do move, I want to know that. So if there's not something in front of him, we can now do something. If there's not something in front of him, I'm going to jump to a position. And when I jump to the position, I want to go 8 pixels to the right. Click OK. And let's go ahead and run this. Actually, you know what? While we're here, let's just do the left. You can imagine it's the same thing except for the left. And so if we go left, I'm going to again check if there's anything there. But we're going left, right? So I'm checking now negative. We're looking for positive pixels to the right. Now we're looking for negative pixels to the left. So I'm going to do negative 8 on the x-axis. We want relative. And we're checking to see if it's not there, let us do something. And we will be able to jump 8 pixels, but it's negative 8 pixels. So we want to go to the left. And let's go ahead and run that. And so you can see with this drag and drop, obviously there's a lot of functions we haven't even gotten to. There's different stuff you can do. There's, you know, what happens when you hit a wall. Make him turn around. So you can see now I can go right and left. But, you know, the problem is he just looks like he's sliding, right? So the sliding part will be taken care of in the next section. We're going to make him look like he's walking, but I at least want to have him face in the right direction when he's walking, right? I don't want him just sliding backwards. So when I'm going left, I want him to stop. You see that there is a wall that we put to the left, and so he stops on that left. And I'm going to go ahead and put that down. But before I actually fix that, I'll do that quickly. So it's actually a really easy fix. I want to transform the sprite. So if he's going left, I want to transform the sprite which is right here. And I want to set the scale. So basically, when you're creating sprites, you only have to create sprites that have the image facing one way, right? And if he's not facing the correct way, you can flip him. And I'm going to flip him on the X scale, because I want to flip him so he's looking towards the left instead of looking towards the right. So I'm going to do -1 here. Click OK. And the right, I'll do the same thing. But we'll just leave that as +1. And then the last thing I'm going to do, you notice that it was this big, huge room, right? But we talked about just having a view into that room. And so we need to add that. And so to add that, we go back to the room itself, and we go to views. Now, in the view into the room, first we have to enable the use of views. We have to set it to be visible when the room starts, and then we want to know what size we want to make it. And so for the view itself, we want to make it 1024 by 576, and that's smaller than what we made the room. And we're going to do that for both the view and the port. These can be two different things. We're going to think of them in this simple platformer as the same thing. This is very similar to what you see here. So if I can't see it in the design surface, you notice that I can drag this around to the left, and when I drag it around, I can see different parts. Visually, this is the same thing. So we want to do 1024 by 576. And then finally, we want to be able to follow a certain character. So we want the view, this thing, and again, I'm just using this for visualization purposes. We want this thing to follow someone or something through the room. And so obviously, we want it to follow the player. So we're going to select the player there. And then we want to see, well, how much can he see around him, right? We need to know, you know, how much, if he goes to the right, how much do you want him to let him see? And so if we left it at 32 by 32, he wouldn't barely be able to see to his right. And we don't really want that. So we want to give him a little better view. So we're going to make it about 512 by 300. And let's go ahead and run this again. And you'll notice a dramatic difference. We'll wait while this builds yet again. And now you can see it's very particular to what he sees. But one last problem, I didn't let him jump. So I can't actually get over there to show you the view moving. Although you can see it moving while he's down below the screen. And we would actually want him to die when he fell down. So let's fix that. Let's add one more event before we finish this up. And we'll add it to the object player. We're going to add one more event. And we want keyboard up. And when keyboard up happens, obviously we want him to jump. So how do you make someone jump? First, we're going to see if there's an object at that position, just like we did on the other one. So we want to check to see if there's an object at that position. And so we want to check to see, let's see, if the floor is right above us. So now we're using Y because we're going up instead of right and left, relative. And we're going to say not. Actually, we want to say not. We want to check to see if we're on the floor. We're only allowed to jump if we're not already jumping. So we're going to go click OK. And then we're just very simply going to set the vertical speed. And the vertical speed, we're going to be pretty liberal for him. We want it to be negative 10. So we're going up, so that would be negative. And so we'll click OK. And then one final time in here, we'll go ahead and run this. And you'll see the starting of a platform. So when you're building this, it goes very similar to what we've been doing here. You're going to add collisions with walls. You'll add collisions with enemies. You'll add collisions with different stuff. So you can now see that we're in the view. I'm able to jump up here. I'm able to jump down. And now it's not just one big, huge room you're seeing, but it is views that allow us to walk through and get through and finish a game. So that's all we're going to walk through in this very simple sample. Let me go ahead and bring that up. The last thing I want to do is show you a more complete sample, a starter kit that you'll be able to download. Let me bring that up here quickly. That's right over here. And in this, you'll see a robot that has to collect coins and avoid crabs. There's two different levels in this. If we look at the object itself, we have simple objects, we have advanced objects, and you would just go along the same way you did in the simple one we just created. But if we look at the object itself, there's a couple things I want to show you. So we'll look at the player, and you can see that there's added stuff in here, even in like the step event. We've used good programming practice. You can see I'm still looking to see if there's a something at a position, but now I'm doing a start block and an end block, so I can clearly see what's happening. If this is true, do this, else do this. We're doing some more advanced stuff, like changing the sprite into the sprite of the player jumping so it looks more natural. If you think of the duck or platypus that was flying up in the air in the game we showed you earlier, it changed it to that sprite. There's a lot of different stuff. If he dies or falls through the floor, we actually want to kill him and destroy him. But most of the same stuff is all here. You can see we have multiple rooms. So when he finishes one level, he can go to the second level. We have a start. We have an end. And what this starter kit was here for is to show you how to start a game. So you don't have to start from exact scratch. If you want to build a platformer, you can use this. And in the next sections, after you learn how to build a icons and you'd be able to build characters, you're going to then take them and change this current game that you're looking at right here into a game based on the characters you just built. So let's go ahead and bring back up the PowerPoint. So I know it was a quick session. Hopefully you were able to see some of the basics that you're able to do with this. And remember, there's a lot of people here to help you in the Q&A, so if you have not been using it so far, make sure you utilize the Q&A, and we'll try to answer every question that we see come through. And don't forget to visit the resources page off of the Game On site. I hope you enjoyed the session, and we'll see you next time. Bye.